This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he's not a new member of the Saints because he's entering the third year. Ugo Amadi, Saints defensive back. Ugo, thanks so much for joining us and congratulations on a new deal with the Saints.
Thank y'all so much, man. Thank y'all for having me on your show, too.
Ugo, I don't think I've ever asked you this. I know we've talked before, but what's your – if you had to say my best position out on the football field, what would it be?
I mean, it's tough, man. I play all of them, man, so – and they all go backwards. So, I mean, it's hard to just pinpoint one because I like them all.
I know to play in this league for any length of time, you got it. One, you got to be versatile. You got to be able to play. And you were involved in a lot of the nickel and dime schemes. And for the people out there listening, you know, just the regular two corners, two safeties, man, that's rarely seen today. I've seen a lot of teams, they in nickel to start the game. And so how that has really changed pro football in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's changed a lot because, you know, back in the day, there was no nickel. They used to call it like a star position, but it was never heightened. But now the league is changing to so much of a passing league where the nickel is just as valuable as having another linebacker on the field, you know. So I have seen a lot of teams just playing nickel throughout that whole game. And if your nickel can cover – tackle, get off blocks, and blitz just like a linebacker, he's fit for your defense.
One of the things in watching you, and you brought it up just now, the ability to tackle. And it's funny, Vic Fangio, we had him on when he wasn't employed, right after he had got fired as being the head coach of the Broncos. Now he's defensive coordinator with the Eagles. And he says, one of the things that I watch today is, can guys tackle, secondary people tackle? And that's a strength. You're not the biggest guy in the world, but you are a really good open field tackler.
Yeah, man, I really take pride in that. Really, from my college coach at Oregon, Coach Neal, he really like harped on us to like making sure you get the guy down, because getting the guy down and getting off the blocks were the two keys for him. And he always would tell us, he said, one of the hardest things to do in football, especially in NFL, is tackling, and that's one of the most things you don't practice because you want to save your body till the game day. So you have to continue to put your mind in those game reps or just practice on wrapping somebody up, because you won't be able to practice it at full speed in practice. So you just got to get your mind ready to go.
Ugo, before I start asking you about some of the new Saints defensive coaches, I wanted to get your thoughts on Phil Galliano. I mean, when you first got here in 2023, you played a lot on special teams. Galliano was an assistant special teams coach. Now with Coach Rizzi moving on, he was promoted to special teams coordinator. Your thoughts on Phil and what he can bring to special teams unit?
I think it's big for them to bring him back because, one, he already knows the players. You know, the depth chart didn't change too much. And having him there, he knows everybody's strengths. And I knew just when he was the assistant that he had his own little, you know, own little ways of getting the thing, getting job done, you know, of how he would do it if he was to be able to take over, you know. But I feel like I have a lot of confidence in him, one, because he knows us, and two, that it's going to be a lot of similar carryover that I would expect, you know, but I didn't ask him, but I would expect it to be a lot of similar carryover that we'll all be able to adjust to quickly.
Ugo, I have to laugh when you said that. When Coach Rizzi took over as the head coach, he was doing the Monday night coaches show. And we asked him about Phil Galliano. He said, I give him all the work I don't want to do. He said he's in charge now. He's the special teams guy. He's got to handle all that work I don't want to do anymore.
Yeah, so now he's going to give it to his assistant. It'll be a domino effect now.
Have you had a chance to talk to Brandon Staley and kind of his outlook on exactly how he's going to use you in defensively? Because he plays a lot of different schemes. And, again, it's a chess match between the offense and the defense. But how much time have you got to talk to Coach Staley?
I haven't talked to Coach Staley yet, but I've always watched his game from afar. You know, they always played on Monday night games, especially when he was with the Chargers, like the, I think, 2022 season, when he was with Darrell Herbert. I just always watched their defense. I was like, oh, they're a different defense that we had from the year before, but I feel like we have the players to get his job done.
It was kind of interesting seeing what the Saints did this offseason with the coaching staff, especially on the defensive side. They dipped into the college ranks a lot. And I just want to get your thoughts on, you know, Terry Joseph, the defensive pass game coordinator, Bo Davis, like all these names that are coming from the college ranks up to the NFL. Some of them already have the NFL experience, but, you know, I guess we'll start with Coach Joseph, who, you know, spent a couple years at Texas. Mike's very familiar with him. Have you spoken with him yet?
Yeah, he's a Louisiana guy, yeah. So I know you'll do you good, Ugo.
Okay, good. But now I haven't talked to any of the new coaches yet, but I feel like with bringing the college coaches into the NFL, I think that's a new burst of energy, you know, just excitement of having to coach guys now that are responsible, that, you know, you can count on, you know, these are guys that take pride in what they do, especially with our squad. So I feel like it's a good sign of bringing these college coaches into the professionals.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your thoughts on Alante Taylor? Here's a really talented young man playing the corner position. He's played both outside and also in the nickel. Your thoughts on Alante, because I look at him, that guy's got a lot of talent. It's just finding, I think, the right niche for him on the defensive side.
Alante is a very talented guy. He's tough as nails. That's all I was to describe him. He's tough as nails. He'll hit anybody, he'll cover anybody, you know, and he's not that big of a build as far as, like, muscle-wise, you know, but he can run anybody, he can cover anybody, he'll come up and hit. He's very talented. There's not one thing he can't do because he has so much speed, you know, and speed kills in today's game, you know. So, I mean, just I think going in this year, is whatever they have him set at, he'll just be good at, because I feel like last year, you know, they just had him bouncing around, you know, especially at our level, you got to have somewhere where you can stick, you know, because not every player can just bounce around throughout the season, you know, from one position to another and be at the top of their game, you know. So I feel like this year they're going to have it set for what he's going to do, and he's going to be lights out with it.
Ugo, a lot of the times when we're talking to the players, it's a lot of new faces that they're bringing in, and so we're having to ask, you know, have you spoken to this guy? Have you spoken to this guy? But with you, obviously, you know all these guys already. I just want to get your thoughts on Tyrann Mathieu as well. The Saints defense has a bunch of veteran leaders on it up front with Cam Jordan and the linebacker room with DeMario Davis, and then obviously the secondary with Tyrann. So your relationship with Tyrann and the leadership he brings to that DB room?
I have a really good relationship with Tyrann. First, is my favorite player growing up as a kid. I mean, I dyed my mohawk in high school, the blonde. Literally, I tried to be like the Honey Badger. I was committed to LSU. I wanted to do the whole Honey Badger, the whole Honey Badger journey, you know. But he's a good dude, man. For a vet like him, especially as a DB, he's like one of my best DBs, like vet that I've had throughout my whole professional career, you know. And like whatever you need, as far as on the field, off the field, he's so wise to guide you through that because he's been through so much, you know. And guys before him been through so much, they poured it on him. So now he's just paying it forward, you know. And I feel like him on our squad, and he's another big reason why I wanted to come back, because he's such a, like, when he's not on the field, he doesn't even have to do anything, but his presence on the field makes everybody else want to just play better, you know. So when he's on the field, like, you feel like, oh, something's just missing, you know. But just him being with us, you know, staying there for another year, it's good for the team.
Ugo, you brought it up, and I'll let you tell a story, because I know you were verbally committed to LSU and coaching change. And people say, man, how the hell a guy from Tennessee ends up at Oregon? But you got a real good story behind that, so I'll let you tell it.
Oh, yeah. So I was committed to Ole Miss my junior year. And going into my senior year, Ole Miss wanted me to come in June, because I already planned my senior year to graduate early to be done in January. So once January was coming, they're like, oh, no, we don't want you to come in early. We want you to come in June. I was like, man, I can't do that. I don't want to sit at home from January all the way to June and just be doing nothing. So that's when John Chavis and I forgot the D coordinator's name. They call him Chief.
Yeah, John Chavis. And John Corey, Chavis, John Corey, Chavis. Yeah, Corey Raymond and John Chavis.
Yes, exactly. So John Chavis and Les Miles came to my high school when I decommitted from Ole Miss. And I'll never forget it. Literally, they came in the hallway, and all the kids were just going crazy. Like, because this is when LSU was really good at this time. They're really good. It's 2014 going to 2015. They're really good. They're a good ball club at this time. And my head coach calls me into the conference room, and I didn't know who was at the school. I didn't know who was there. And I came in the room, and it was just them two sitting there. And, you know, John Chavis and Les Miles. Literally, Les Miles was talking. He's like, "Yeah, man, we really want you. We like you a lot. You remind me a lot like Tyrann Mathieu. You know, we can use you as returner, play DB." And I was like, "Oh man, I'm stoked." So we had that conference, and then later on that night, they came to my house. And they're like, "Yeah, we want to offer your." They told my parents, like, "We want to offer your son a full scholarship to LSU." So fast forward, I had LSU and Tennessee on the table, and I ended up coming to LSU over Tennessee. And Tennessee made a big push to come get me. They flew on their private jet once they found out LSU came to my house. And Butch Jones and then their recruiter coach that was in my area at that time, I can't remember his name, came to my house. And they were trying to give me a little last-minute spiel before I committed. Like, hey, make sure, you know, you want to be with Tennessee brick by brick. That was their slogan back then. And I ended up coming to LSU over Tennessee. And then literally after I committed to LSU, like, probably hours later, they had their bowl game here in Tennessee, which is funny, against Notre Dame in the Music City Bowl. And John Chavis ended up leaving to go to Texas A&M. So now it's like everybody's on social media. At this time, Twitter wasn't where it's at today. So it wasn't like everybody was on it. But enough people were on it to get to me. They were like, oh, Ugo, how you commit to a school where the coaches leave and they tell you, blah, blah, blah. And I called John Chavis. His phone goes straight to voicemail. Like, when it happened, I was like, go straight to voicemail. Literally 48 hours later, he pops up out of nowhere on Twitter, DMs me, like, hey, what's your number? I'm going to call you. He calls me like, hey, you want to offer your full scholarship at Texas A&M? I'm like, man. I'm like, what? I just committed to you at LSU. Now you're gone. I called Coach Raymond. I was like, hey, do you still want me to come to LSU? I'm like, what do y'all want to do? He said, Coach Raymond said, I'll be honest with you, Ugo. He said, I don't know if I'm going to have a job here in a few weeks, you know, because, you know, back then when the head coach got fired, they cleaned house. The new head coach brings in his whole staff, you know. So I was like, okay. I went back to the drawing board. I'm like, all right, I'm leaning not to go to LSU no more. I called Tennessee back. Tennessee said, oh, we already moved on from your class. But Butch Jones said, I'll call somebody else to see if they want you in their class. He reached out to North Carolina. North Carolina said the same thing. So oh, we already moved on from your class. So now I'm at home in January, not even at school, just working out, going home. And then my trainer reaches out to Jim Harbaugh's assistant at the time at Michigan. He said, hey, I got this 4-star DB into your program. Are you willing to give him an offer or a visit? He gets a text back and says, hey, this is not so-and-so, but I need DBs bad in this class. Can you give me his transcript and all that information? And that message went to Oregon and not to Michigan. So that's the crazy part, right? So Coach Neal, the DB coach, he calls me, you know, he's talking to me like, yeah, Mark Helfrich was the head coach at Oregon at the time. He said, yeah, we need just good kids with good grades and all that stuff. Because at the time, Oregon couldn't even have camps because they were suspended from whatever Chip Kelly had done. So they couldn't have camps. Like, oh, we're trying to change the image. Like, we're bringing kids with good grades and all that. I'm like, well, I have a 3.6 GPA, so there would be no issues with that. And then they ended up sending me a video on Twitter like 2014, like the Autzen Stadium, or what it looked like on like a video. If I just turned the video of the stadium, I could just turn my phone and like I could see the whole stadium. It was crazy. So after the after their Rose Bowl game against Florida State, where they beat them bad, they gave me a scholarship at that time. And once they gave me the scholarship, I signed without even visiting or anything. Signed there.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's super crazy. So when I signed there, honestly, I didn't even know where Oregon was on the map. I was like, let's go. We're going to Oregon. I seen the uniforms. I seen that they're winning. I seen enough. Let's go. I told my family, let's go. We get on the airplane. I literally, like that movie, Are We There Yet? I kept asking my mom and dad, like, man, are we there yet? Like, we took two planes. I'm like, it's super far. And I get there, and Coach Neal, my DB coach, he welcomes me and my parents in. You know, he gets me moved into my apartment and all that stuff. And the rest is history.
Ugo, I got to visit Oregon a few years back in the campus and the facilities. Mm-hmm. I told this to Charlie. It's the Taj Mahal. Now, again,
pictures, Ugo. It looks nice.
Phil Knight got a few nickels in his pocket. Okay. He can afford to pay for it. But, man, they got some unbelievable facilities at University of Oregon.
It's crazy because, like, even when I come back to Tennessee, I wear all my Oregon stuff because, like, being from the South, you don't see stuff like that, like out there in Oregon. Like I show all my friends all the new stuff I get, like all the time, and like they put every when somebody invests in something, Phil Knight is the symbol of how you invest into something because it's just everything just looks completely nice. Barbershop in your locker room, you can put a pin code and open up your lockers and all that stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous.
One of the things too is, man, I can remember growing up and ran a little track, and Steve Prefontaine, you know, and he was sort of synonymous with Oregon because of the fact of, you know, his running skills. He was a long distance runner, and that's kind of how Phil Knight got broken into the business with the shoe industry, trying to get that shoe right for Pre. And now he's, man, Oregon's a juggernaut. I will say that football-wise, man, they got some talent going there, and they've been able to get a lot of young men from either the California high school ranks or from the South to go there.
Yeah, that is true. And you know, when I was getting recruited, like the coaches didn't even want to recruit the South because they felt like they'll waste their time getting there because they don't think a kid would want to come all the way from Florida or Alabama all the way to Oregon because it's so far. But now they're getting all the kids, and NIL's open up the door to get anybody from anywhere. You get a kid from freaking Canada if you could, like, you know. So I guess open the door for everything.
Ugo, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Again, man, congratulations on a new deal with the Saints, and we'll see you in some of the mini camps.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate y'all having me again. Thank y'all.
Thanks
so much. Ugo Amadeh. And, man, what a great story.
Yeah.
Recruiting story. People think, you know, man, I've heard some crazy stories. No, that one's a wild one. I mean, you talk about a swing from Ole Miss to LSU. Then Chief tries to get him to go to A&M. They misplaced the number, and they thought they were trying to get him a scholarship at Michigan. They got him a scholarship at Oregon.
He was all the way out to Eugene. Man. Yeah. Listen, Mike, I mean, we talked a little bit about it, too, with Ugo specifically, the effort that he shows from play to play every single time he's on the field. That's how you go from being a fourth-round pick to entering year 7 in the NFL.
He's a tough dude out on the field.
He's
a tough dude out on that football field.